Amen. There we go. Whoa. Sounds a little hot. Who's thankful to be in the house of the Lord this morning? Amen. Oh, wow. So the other 157 of y'all, who's thankful to be in the house of the Lord this morning? Amen. Okay. I didn't know we were going to take a temperature check like that, but I am thankful to be in the house of the Lord this morning. I am, see, there we go. I have to pay him extra, though. Sometimes you need an amen corner. Sometimes things are light, sometimes things are heavy. I asked the teens, I said, hey, why don't y'all sit up front? That way Haley's not the only short one up here, and I can't tell her. True. That joke failed. I am thankful this week that I get the opportunity. Some of y'all are finding it out for the first time now, and like I say every time, you're like, man, I could have slept in and gone to tutors and not had as much fun as coming here. But I told Luke, I said, absolutely. He said, man, I got an issue at work. I had the day off. I don't have the day off now, and it would be very helpful if I can go to work. And I said, I'm for it. Last time I threw Phil under the bus, and I said, I'm busy this week. Make Phil preach. So y'all get me instead of Phil. I can't see you, but I guess that's the one applicable amen. But I said, I'm for it. And it was probably Wednesday. And I am a pastor. I am a called to preach pastor at this church. So I have there's no no's. And I wish the air worked better. I'm as hot as y'all are. I ain't going to lie. It's a squirrel moment, right? Because it's hot. But I wish that there was a no that I could say. But I'm not going to say no. Like, I am supposed to be in season. Lorelai's new boyfriend is preaching at a church in Roan County this morning, and he's preaching on being in season, and he has no idea. And Lorelai is in a situation that she's never been in at an old country church in the absolute middle of nowhere. All of this is new to her. Like, she is an offspring of me, and he is an upbringing of Mount Pleasant and an intern and a King James loud preaching young man. And I like the fire that's in him, but she's going to be out of her element this morning. So if y'all bow your head, pray for her right quick. Or him, take your pick. But I said, yes, I'm absolutely for it. And I do like I always do. And I say, Lord, obviously I am not well equipped. I am not well studied. I am not super smart, and I don't pay attention. So you just let me know when it's time about what I'm going to preach about. And he did. And I don't like it. And I'm still mad about it, but I'm learning to get over it. Trevor, where did you go? Bro, come on. Listen, I love illustrations, and I said the entire service. You think he needs a boost up here? I want y'all to know, I'm praying through some things, and I asked Phil an open-ended question the other day, and I said, hey, thanks, I appreciate that. We'll talk about it in a little bit, I think. I asked Phil, I said, hey, and I knew the answer. I said, hey, what are you doing tomorrow? Because I know that his wife and kids are out of town on their way back. They went on a bus trip to New York. How bad does that sound? Ugh. Like, it sounds gross. Anyway, they're almost back, but I knew that he wasn't going to be super busy other than his Jessica list on his house, because he's got a list that's this long. And I said, listen, preaching Sunday morning, and here's my vision. I didn't even draw it, and I said, hey, I need a fence. I was really just asking for scrap wood, but deep down in my belly, I was praying that he would say, I got that. And I said, I need some wood. I need to build a little fence. A fence that I can sit in the aisleway at the church, but I need it a little bit comfortable so I can stick Trevor on it the entire service, perched up on the fence. And he said, no problem, I'll have it ready. I got a picture at about, I don't know, it's 12:30 or so last night, and that's what we got. I said, fence pickets and all. He went and found fence pickets, dog-eared the fence pickets. I don't know if y'all know what that means, but now they look like fence pickets again. That's official. But we are going to tie this together at some point, but I've got to give you where I'm at in life, and I've got to find the word inside of it. Trevor is going to sit on the fence of his life in a straight illustration for you guys, because I pray deeply that God doesn't offend you as much as it makes it feel in my mind the words that he has given me are moderately offensive. Some of y'all are putting one and one together, getting three, but some of y'all see two, and we love to chill out on the fence. Love it. We love it. But I want you to know where I'm at. in life. In the youth group, we have been in Exodus. And so when it's my turn to preach, I don't do a very good job turning off what I'm studying, because I have a lot of compartments in my mind, but they're occupied. I ain't even going to lie. Like, I have a lot of things going on, just always. Like, I can't get music out of my head. I can't fall asleep. Not because my wife snores like Smokey the Bear, more like a grizzly bear, but that's not why I can't fall asleep. I can't fall asleep because I cannot shut off. Hey, everybody clap. Squirrel moment. Y'all look refreshed on a 24-hour bus trip. I'm glad you made it back from that yucky city. I can't turn things off in my mind, right? I don't fall asleep well, so I'm always working on things. But I have enjoyed so much. Haley is in charge of the youth group Sunday school on Sunday morning. I just have to read the passages because I read and I enunciate and I read with a little bit of fervor, I reckon. But I have been stuck on the Israelites and the vision that happens in that. So I have to let you know where I started this week when he said, hey, my adults, as your senior pastor, my adults are yours this Sunday morning. Are you down? I'm down. So here is where I am, right? So let's understand where the Israelites were. In the beginning of Exodus, they roll over into Egypt. Pharaoh's like, wait a minute. That's too many of y'all. I don't like y'all just roaming freely. I'm going to enslave you, right? So these are all stories that you fully understand, you know. And we're going to get to the point here in a minute. But we got Pharaoh. And then we've got God coming to Moses saying, bro, you got to get them out. Like, you got to get them out. It still baffles to me, and I interrupt the class every week because I've done a lot of in-depth studies, and I still stay in the gray area. It weirds me out. He says, Moses, go do this. I'm going to send a plague, and you're going to ask for your people. Oh, by the way, I'm going to harden Pharaoh's heart. I do a lot of redundant things in life, but if God says, hey, go do this, but it ain't going to work because I'm going to make sure it doesn't work, why do I got to go do it, God? Like, those are just the questions I ask. Y'all have maybe read Exodus and be like, psh, I understand. I get it. I get it in the long term because I've read the back of the book and I understand. I've seen all of the outcome. I know where it's at. I get it. But that's where we're at this morning. So we've got the Israelites rolling out. And my biggest thing, and yes, they're sitting here for a reason. I see y'all a couple times looking over my shoulder. I don't know how we're putting all of these things together this morning, but I came to the conclusion that, Lord, I trust you and not me. And I'm for it. I'm ready. I've got a lot of word. I don't know where we're going to end up. I don't know if we're flying a plane, landing a plane, but we are on the Israelites this morning because I find that in 2025, I find it a blessing to hang out with teenagers, and because I think young people look at the Old Testament and go, bro, that's got nothing to do with me. Got nothing to do with me. I am a New Testament Christian. I need to know about Jesus and how to pass on forward. I find it way too much fun to go back into the Old Testament and go, that's us. And I will say that we act like the Israelites a lot of times. I was thinking that was going to fail. I at least got three amens on that. I see 2025 modern day society, Christ-filled Christians acting like the Israelites all the time. All the time. I see it. And that's what I tell these kids. But so now we've got plagues, right? We've got a lot of plagues. How many? Enough, right? But they're finally out, right? So just march with me for a minute. Y'all don't have to march in place or anything like that. But you have to understand, in the cartoon that you're seeing in your head, the Israelites are headed out. They're like, they're okay, we don't like this slavery anymore. Like, we don't want to be bound to Pharaoh. It's kind of yucky. I don't really like it. And there's a lot of people, like 600,000 men, and then all of their families. Like, it's like an Auburn Adkins reunion right there. They're all just headed out. No. All right, picture with me for a minute. Here they roll. They're like, okay, this guy has the right answers. I'm following this Moses guy. He's connected to God. Here we go. And now they're headed. They're headed to the Red Sea, right? And they get there. They get there to the Red Sea, and what happens? Anybody? I'll go over here because these are my kids. You can. You are definitely not one of my kids. You, right. Like, everything was good. This is the plan. We're on the plan. And hold up. Wait a minute. here they come. Like, I thought we were leaving this, but they knew God's plan, right? And so this is where we're at. We're rolling in this timeline. This is what's in my mind. We're knowing that we're on the Lord's path. This is a massive moment in their life. What happens? God parts the Red Sea through Moses. They walk through Pharaoh's army. I like the visual. If you read some of the stuff, it says their tires got stuck. Like I always, when you're in the valley, I always say you got to grab that four-wheel drive shifter, like, and just grab God's hand, and he'll pull you out with that. That's like a 96 F-250 reference where they still had a four-wheel drive lever that's down here that you know when you got it and you're going to be no problem. But so this is where we're at. This is where the Israelites are at. They just crossed through the Red Sea and everything should be good, correct? One more try. They were bound in slavery. They get to the Red Sea. They get through. Waters cave back in. They're like, we're rolling out. All should be well, right? I agree. That's what the Bible wants us to believe, but what happens? I love the visual because I'm a visual. I'm a cartoon in my head because I'm really just childish. But the pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night is pretty epic. I'm going to stay over here. I got that one, yeah, and I'm a yes. But I'm a visual walker, right? Right? The Bible talks about fixing your eyes on Jesus. How about you give me a cloud and go, that's the way that I'm supposed to. All right, I bet. I'm going that way. Here we go. Oh, it's nighttime. Lord, I can't see the cloud. No problem. I will give you a pillar of fire. Just keep walking my way. Well, that's what the Israelites are doing. One would think that I am walking with the Lord in that moment, right? But were they? They get all hateful quick. I just have a couple notes because I'm still trying to lay the groundwork of where we're at. Exodus 14, verse 11, and you don't have to try to get there. I didn't give you these in advance. The Israelites, they said to Moses, is it because there are no graves in Egypt that you've taken us away to die in the wilderness? What's up, stupid? What? Like, what have you done to us bringing us out of Egypt? Is not this what we said to you in Egypt? Leave us alone that we may serve the Egyptians. And this is the hurtful part. For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness. Does this sound like a people that are being guided by a cloud and a pillar of fire at night? They just, all of their enemies just got drowned in the Red Sea. This is one hot minute after the Red Sea caves in. This is one hot minute right after. Immediately after. Well, you're like, all right, fine. The Lord's going to show up. And he did. I underline this, and I'm gonna say this out loud. Y'all can't use it this way, right? I heard that. It's cool. We're for it. We like babies. But verse 14, this is what Moses said to them. You can't say this to your spouse, but you can say this to your neighbor. Verse 4, I like that you're still here, by the way. Because I haven't even figured out how we're getting to your spot, but I need you to be on that fence for a little while. Moses says, the Lord will fight for you, comma, punctuation matters, and you have only to be silent. I'm not going to tell you to turn to your neighbor, but if you want to, you can look at your neighbor and say, the Lord will fight for you, but you got to shut up. That's not offensive speech, right? That's moderately, we're biblically speaking, the Lord will fight for you. Like that was at about 2:30 this morning when I got through to that and I underlined it and I was like, probably shouldn't really underline that heavy because that's a little offensive, but that's another sermon for another day that the Lord will fight for you, but you need to shut up. You need to stop. And we'll get to it here in a minute on why. 15:24, I'm still laying my foundation, y'all. 15:24 says, and this is where it got me. This is where I identify with the Israelites. 15:24 says, and the people grumbled. The people grumbled. 100%. Do not look at your spouse. It won't work for you if you turn, but have you ever grumbled over circumstances? The deep side of my life this week is I want to preach on life's inconveniences. How we're going to get together to that, I don't know. I'm riding with it, right? But life's inconvenient. Have you ever grumbled over a situation? Right? So we're talking about the Israelites, the Old Testament, the people, everything. That's us rolling through. They've had all of this stuff. They've got all of this guidance. They don't have the internal indwelling of the Holy Spirit like we do, but they've got a cloud and they've got fire and they are being led. And God says, this is our plan. Everything is good. And now they're grumbling. Their water is a little bitter. God says, I hear your grumbling. They threw a log in and it turned sweet. All should be well, right? One and done. We done tried Jesus, or we tried God, and he fixed it out. No. We go over to 16:2, and it says, and the whole congregation of the people of Israel grumbled. I'm finding a theme, and it's not youth ministry that we grumble about. It's the people of Israel. Things aren't going their way. Boo-hoo. Right? I don't wish, man, hang on. I don't wish in my life that I have a Red Sea experience where I get to a certain place where I'm going to look this way. I don't wish that I get to a place where I get to the Red Sea in my life and God has to bring me through such a catastrophic failure that I see all that he's done in my life. I don't wish that. But I know it happens. And I don't want to make eye contact around this room because I've already cried enough this morning. Man, I love the Lord. I don't want a Red Sea experience, but there are those of you in here that have been to that Red Sea experience. And you turn around and see what he's brought you from. People down behind you are tripping over all your Ebenezer stones because you've got them stacked up so big. And yet, we still grumble. Somehow, it equates to Trevor here. Let's make Trevor an Israelite for a minute. I don't, figuratively, the Trevor that is on the fence. Hang on, let me go to 17:3. The last one was manna from heaven. We don't have anything to eat, Lord. Why would you bring it? And there's a lot, but I need to move on. This is just my foundation of understanding on where I'm at this week. They're mad. Like, I've seen all of this. I get it. We're on the right path. But, Lord, we could have been back as slaves and we had food. What are you trying to do? You're just going to kill us out here? 17:3 says, the people thirsted there for water, and the people grumbled against Moses and said, why did you bring us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst? That's all they did was grumble. I could keep on reading about the people of Israel. Y'all could keep on identifying and be like, that's me. That's my wife. Sorry, that's my husband. Like, you can see yourself in all of that. I find that in life, man, I'm going to dance around this probably till 2 o'clock today when y'all are long gone and Mexican is through. But I see today's modern church loves to get up on the fence. Have a moment with God. You pretty comfortable? Yeah. Hop over here. You know what? We're going to go saved, sanctified, and headed to heaven on this side. I apologize for those of y'all over there. Just sit down over there for a minute. I'm going to go with this side of the aisle or the fence is your old life. I see it played out that we love to dabble with up on top of the fence. These Israelites continued to move through life, perched up right here, seeing the goodness of the Lord, knowing right, and headed on a journey. Yet they were still so attached to their past that they could see it. All right, I'll back up. I want you to still be able to see both sides. And I know your wife is short, so you got to get up there. She's in your past life, though. She's on that sinful side. But as Christians, we love. Nothing happens on the fence. I'm going to move on, I promise. Nothing happens for the glory of the Lord when you are perched up there. I don't know. Nothing for the Lord happens when you are stuck still seeing what you had and finding value in the possibility of, well, at least, Lord, I had some food. You can't work in the church super well perched up here. You're going to get no glory in it. There's no follow through. There's no finished. You need to be saturated with these people and not looking back at where you've been. Amen? So, here's where we're at. Oh, my gosh. Here's where we're at. I said, Wednesday night, y'all know we've been remodeling a kitchen. Trevor, you can sit down. It's going to be awkward if you stay right there. You get to choose whether you want to go back to your past life or not. That's what sin looks like. He's like, but I love her. Y'all know that we've been remodeling the kitchen, and they installed our countertops and backsplash Wednesday night. Yay. So I had a faucet and a garbage disposal that I needed to hook up after church Wednesday night. I won't lie, at 11 o'clock I was at the hardware store. And by the hardware store, I mean Phil Schaefer's garage, which ultimately turned into his crawl space. And he had just got out of the shower. I ain't even going to lie. He put on a headlamp and went into his crawl space to get me an inch and a half male adapter fitting so I could say that my kitchen was done. And he had it. He had everything. He always has everything I need there. And I got home. I put it together. It worked. Ran it. Feeling accomplished. And I said before I went to bed that night it was probably 1:30. And I said, all right, Lord, my mind is clear. Teach me what you want me to preach about this week. Give me a sermon. Thursday morning, I said, I better finally go back to work, right? I haven't really been to work in a minute. I've been playing with house stuff, and there are not a lot of people that know or care where I'm at in my work life. But I said, I'm going to Huntington. I've got some employees there, and I got a lunch I want to take them to. I got to do all these things. Well, if I got to go to Huntington, I got to leave the house at 6:30. It's not my jam if I'm not going to bed till 2 o'clock. But I got up at 6 o'clock, got a shower, got dressed nice, because if I go to Huntington, I got to wear nice clothes. The boss has got to see me. I got to do all the things. And at 6:30, I get out to my kitchen. And I said, whoa, hang on, what is that? And I drop my shoes, and I run to the landing, and I turn. I got a mid-entry house, so y'all can visualize that. I turn on my landing, and I look down, and I knew that it was the sound of water. And I see the toilet supply line on my downstairs basement spraying like a cartoon against the wall. And I didn't go downstairs and work like I normally do. I went to bed with Mandy at about 12:30, but didn't go to sleep for a little while. And I heard that noise, and I got to the landing, and like everything freaked out in my body. I had 3 inches of water in my basement, and it was moving. Like if I owned a Jeep, it would have like pulled one of the ducks off the dash, and it'd have been floating by. Sorry. And I'm watching this water run by, and I'm a panic and get mad kind of a guy. And I sat there, and absolutely, in that moment, I said, wow, pulled my fancy pants up. I didn't have my shoes on yet. And I ran downstairs into the garage. Thankfully, I've had to turn the water off. I turned the water off. And I have a picture. I won't even show it to you. But there was water just sheeted down my driveway, running out into the road. And I'm like, Dean's like, oh, Lord. Zero claims in all the millions he's given me. We're not doing it today. And I found myself at a calming peace that is weird. And I'll tell you. I went back. I told Mandy, I said, hey, if you hear me, my wife keeps a gun close to the bed. And again, she snores super loud. So if she does get awoken, it's not good. So I tapped her on the shoulder and I said, hey, I'm not leaving. If you hear me downstairs, the basement is flooded, 3 inches of water. Pipe burst, I'll be home for a while. You know what she said? Do you need help? No, Linda. Go to bed. I'm going to deal with myself for a minute. I said, no. I'll handle it. And I'm going to keep on here in a minute. And here's what happened. I got back to the landing and I said, wow. I got to tell you of a thing that put life in perspective. And I asked the Lord to tell me what he wanted me to preach about. but I didn't know that he was going to paint it real in my life. That was an inconvenience to my Thursday. I wanted to go have a good lunch. I wanted to go spend some money on my employees in Huntington. I wanted to treat them, and then I wanted to come home. It's what I wanted to do. But now I've got a flooded basement. But the part that I haven't told you was Wednesday night, before we did all the things that we did, you said you couldn't get through it. I'm going to not get through it. We were at Tim's house. Not super public. We've talked about it a handful of times that he had some more cool scans done. But we were at Tim's house Wednesday night praying with him because his journey's not over. The scans in his lungs are not great. They're showing some things. I am not super medical. I look at my wife every once in a while and say, what does this mean? Who's ready for that? And here I stand looking at a flooded basement and God's like, really? This a problem? Is this inconvenient for you? We spent a half hour praying in his living room on a second bout with cancer that he doesn't want. His testimony is great because of it, but the Lord said, is this water a problem? Is it the end of the world? No. Y'all know me well enough to know that I am musical. Before today's all over, we're going to pray for Tim because it's the right thing for us to do. We're all sitting there as the leadership team, elder in the church, pastor in the church. What do you say? What do you say when you look Tim Miller in the face and say, I'm sorry to hear that the cancer has come back and it's hanging out in your lungs? I have no idea what to say. So I find myself musically inclined. These things can't stop in my brain. They just cannot. And I have this song that shows up, and we're going to do things a little differently this morning, and I just what it is. And this is the song that plays out in my mind when the Lord says, chill out. I will fight on your behalf, but Justin, you've got to shut up. When I shut up, I get down into a spot and I listen to things like this. This may not be your jam, but listen to the words. I'm going to try not to sing, I promise.
Sometimes the nights bring sorrow and pain.
Listen, I know it's a little country. That runs through my mind because sometimes there's no word. God is still good when the waves roll high. Like, there's a lot of offensive stuff in that because we do a lot of things to put ourselves in those positions. We grumble a lot. We get into positions because of ourselves. We get into I'm not even going to try this right here. We get into positions with the Lord all the time because it's easy to get right back to here. I told him that needed to hold Trevor. I think that he took that literally. Listen, sometimes we love, to work for the Lord like this. It's okay. I got my feet over here. I'm on the side. I can still see what happened. I can still see where I was at. I'm still going to grumble, Lord, right? It's a lot of human nature. We're still going to fight that flesh all the time. I get it. But we love it. We love it. We love to be in that position. It's super hard just to jump off that fence and just get so far away from that fence that we never see it again. I'm not going anywhere. It's fine. You're good. What is that? Nice. That's a big protein bar. I'm going to go back over here. Y'all ever been driving down the road and saw one of those tanker trucks that says non-potable or non-potable? What is it? Is it potable? Potable. What does that mean? Who's driving down the road and sees a tanker and is like, you know what? Stop, pull over, bro. Can I get a sip? Like, who thinks that? Y'all don't think that? Wow. That's my life. That's a little squirrel moment for you right there. I was trying to get into my new life, headed back to my old. But this is my life, right? This is my life on Thursday. You know what it gave me? You know what Thursday gave me? Thursday gave me an entire day. I skipped work. I started pulling up carpet downstairs. And I texted Phil and I said, check this out. I have cool friends. Phil is one of them. Phil also has cool stuff, not just his hardware store, but he's got a dumpster at his lot. So I said, do you mind? I ask him all the time. I owe him a lot of money. So I'm tearing up wet carpet, tossing it in the back of my truck, and I get an opportunity to go over Phil's lot. Well, guess who's working at his lot on his forklift, doing all the things? Phil's there. I got Tucker with me. Everything is great. We go over there. We throw some stuff away. He's got a big tarp he's got to put on, some wood on a big tractor trailer. So I said, let me go back to the house and get the rest of the carpet. I had Crocs on. I said, let me put some regular shoes on. I'll give you a hand. Do you need a hand? He said, I could use a hand. Did he have to have a hand? Probably not. But I got the opportunity to be there to give him a hand. When I got back there to give him a hand, he's up on top of the tractor trailer. And I don't know if y'all have ever heard of a, what do you call it, Phil? A toad strangler? Yeah. So I don't know if y'all were around Pinch. On Thursday, roughly 2 o'clock in the afternoon, sun, it came down. Guess who was not in the truck? Not Tucker. Tucker was in the truck. Well, I don't know where he's at. Matthew got stuck with me. I took him back, and we got drowned, but we had a good conversation. We talked about a lot of things. One of the things is Tim. We both came to the conclusion of, what do you say? What do you say? Had my basement not flooded, I wouldn't have had those conversations. We wouldn't have been able to talk about it, and I wouldn't have had something to preach about this morning. But I don't like being in the situation where I have to rely upon God because my flesh says, you figure it out. God's word says, I'll work through it if you shut up. I didn't think that's where we were going today. You ready for the, yeah. We started talking through some things. She's going to sing another song. Because sometimes I don't have the words. Sometimes I don't know what to say. I'm looking at Tim in the face. What do I say? At 44 years old, never had cancer. As a pastor, he knows the word as much as I know the word. What do I say when I look him in the face? God knows. God's going to figure it out. Does that feel better? Not always. Yeah, go ahead. We're going to be in the weeds if I stick around.
Looking for answers. You need a way out.
as I sought the Lord. This feels the same key. Go ahead. We're fluid. If that's not your jam, this is. Right? Yeah, come on.
And he heard, and he answered, I sought the Lord.
Y'all can stand up.
And he heard, and he answered, I sought the Lord. And he heard, and he answered, that's why I trust.
Listen, I'm not trying to promote an unconventional move of the Lord this morning. I'm not. But I know that he works in your life. In that spot, he works.
And he heard, and he answered. That's why I trust him. That's why I trust in God.
Come on.
My Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never
I said, Tim, what's your favorite hymn? This is the best that he's going to get out of this morning.
Blessed assurance.
Yeah, you do it, not me.
Jesus is mine.
What he did for me on Calvary.
sit in that spot of singing, I trust the Lord. I've sought the Lord, but when I left the church, I grumbled because my life was inconvenient. Lord, but I love the way that that table feels, or that fence. I love still being able to see, because I got these work friends that are still on that side, and I still want them to see me as their friend. Lord, I got these work colleagues that if I can just stay close to the fence, I can witness to them. You keep lying to yourself. I don't love that the Lord speaks to me in my grumbling, but boy, I am thankful that I've got a relationship with Him that He lets me know. I might not have that pillar of cloud hanging out in front of me and that fire at night telling me where to go, but man, I got the Holy Spirit that says, bro, you are out of line. Why are you grumbling? Like, are the things that you talk about on Sunday not the things that you live about on Tuesday at 4 p.m.? I don't want to say out loud that He tells me that all the time, but my heavens, more than it should happen, I can tell you, and I don't think I'm alone. I don't think He would give me these sort of things to preach if I was super alone in that. I believe the time and effort building a fence for you guys to see, man, I might be perched up on that fence, is my jam. I'm there. My commitment to the church, my commitment to the Lord, it's terrible. Why? Because I still got a foot in the world. I still got a foot in what I want to do. I have my own plan. My plan to do the things that I want to do. And I get inconvenienced when something changes that. Whether it's water in my basement, or whether that's I got a road construction, or listen, I'll be the first one to tell you, I'm fired up. We're going through some things, and Tim's telling me his favorite hymns, and I have to pick up lemons. I don't know if y'all saw this for Tucker's Lemonade Stand. I had to pick up lemons at the Dunbar Kroger's, and I'm walking in. I'm on the Holy Spirit high, and I'm like, Sunday's figured out. I've got it figured out. I'm happy for it. And I'm walking in the door, and I see a lady in a wheelchair. She got groceries. No Atkins joke, right? Yes, she did. She had an Atkins amount of groceries. But she's in a wheelchair, and she's back into a spot, and she's struggling picking these things up over. I didn't even have to argue with the Holy Spirit. He said, bing, there I go. I said, ma'am, you need a hand? No. Lord, I didn't think that's how that was going to go down. But thank you. I think you realized how cool the no came out for a minute. But I was at least obedient for a minute, caught off guard. But I was obedient because I ain't good at that. I'm just not, right? And I was on high for it. But I've been waiting all morning. And we talked the other day. And Tim's like, listen, I don't know that I could get through having the conversation about my current situation. Phil said, well, you just write it down, old boy, and I'll read it for you. That's friends, right? I've cried about it 7 times since that conversation on Thursday, because I'm supposed to have a good answer for him. But I'm going to seek the Lord. His greatest neighbor decided to show up this morning to church in honor of his buddy, knowing that he's going through some things. He's got his own church. He's got his own family. But guess who's here this morning to support his neighbor, his friend, his buddy? It's right there. The Lord says, I will work for you, but you got to shut up. And that's me sometimes. That's y'all sometimes. I love that. If you think that we're done praying for you today, Tim, you're sadly mistaken. You know what? I want you to come this way. Phil's going to come, only because he wore that beautiful shirt today. And before it's all said and done, let's pivot for a minute. Play the other one. Play the invitation. And I have to tell you, you can stay. We're flowing. Years ago, I haven't sang this song. You're going to have heard this song, and I'm going to fail it. I'm going to fail. I shouldn't be singing this song. But I have to tell you that I've been in youth ministry for a lot of years. And the last time I sang this song out loud I'm going to make it through without crying. I'm going to do it. The last time I sang this song publicly, I shouldn't have been singing it. But I had a youth kid in my youth group stuck with cancer. He's in the hospital. His name's Michael Hammock, you know. He was in my youth group at the time, and as his youth pastor, I didn't know what to say. He's laying in a hospital bed, stricken with cancer. And this song, I sang it directly into a live stream camera so he could see it. And I said, that's all I know how to do is pray for you. That's all I know how to do is pray that he's going to take you through a fire. And I don't know. Lisa, you can. We need to sing this morning, right? But I don't know what to say. But I know the Lord knows the testimony. I know the Lord knows the testimony that y'all have been to this point. I know how big those Ebenezer stones are that people trip on when they are following up in your life. They're going around them things. We haven't talked about it, right? But this ain't any different. I don't like it. You don't like it. You didn't ask for it. But the Lord knows what he's doing. Every ounce of his promises in his word. Say, I know what I'm doing. You can fight me on it. You can hop up on your fence. You can have a pity party. Just hang on tight. Let's go. Do you need a mic?